And good morning and welcome to the LaPorte Church of Christ. It is December 1st, 2024. We welcome you folks out there. We thank you for being here this morning. Before we get started, let's go to our Heavenly Father with a word of prayer. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for this day that you've given us. And we just ask, Father, that you lead us, guide us, and direct us, Father, as we get into your word and get into the scriptures. We pray, Father, that you just continue to do a work in us and through us, Father. I thank you, Father, for these messages that Pastor Peters did on communion, and I thank you, Father, for just the powerful inspiration that you gave him. I pray, Father, that you go with those messages wherever they may go, Father, and that you convict people to turn their hearts and their minds back to you, that we forget none of your benefits, Father, none of the benefits that we have access to through communion. We're grateful for that. And we're thankful for that. We just ask, Father, that you continue to protect your people. We pray for an awakening of your people, Father, of who they are and what they are in Christ. We pray, Father, that you destroy the plans of the enemy. Lord, we know that they're plotting in so many different ways, shapes, and forms. We are under attack in this land. We've got invaders coming in from the north and from the south. Lord, we cry out to you for your help. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land and ask for it to be a God-fearing nation once again. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you just heard the message by Pastor Peters, it was supposed to be There's More to Communion, Part 5. And I have no idea how I screwed it up, but it was part four, and somehow when I was transferring it onto the computer, I overwrote one of the files, and it was the same message that I had last week for the same hour. So if you want to hear part five, it's going to be coming up just after this live hour, and I've been trying to figure out how that happened, and I have no idea how it happened, but I'm the guy to blame. It's my fault, and I apologize for that. I'm not sure what happened, but I do have the proper file ready to go, and we'll be playing that. There's More to Communion, Part 5. It is the conclusion of the five-part series that Pastor Peters did on communion, and just a lot of really good information on that. Talked to several people this week. Talked to a man down in Arizona, and he's been, fighting cancer. And called in and asked me to pray for him, and I was talking to him about these communion messages, and he's listening to them this week, and called me several times. He got through the first two of them, and just said how what an impact they have made for his life and his attitude, and he's doing better. He really believed that he was doing better because of listening to those messages, so praise God for that. Also, the messages, the salvation videos that I've been playing for the last couple of weeks, I did get them posted. Working on a new page on the sfaw.org, and we'll bring that up. And you'll notice right there, there's a salvation tab. And if you click that tab, you can just scroll down a little bit there, and there's video 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6. I don't have the text in there yet, but go ahead and click video one there, Richard. And you click video one, it's just pretty straightforward. They'll start playing just like that. But there's 1 through 6, and sent that link out to a lot of people. And it was a lot of people really enjoyed those videos. So I appreciate those videos. Very grateful for them. Got a text this morning, again, from another gentleman that I sent them to, and he said thank you. He said he watched all 6 of them, and he said they just really blessed his life. So praise the Lord for that. I'm glad that those were preserved. We're going to go ahead and start off with a song. It is nothing. Oh, no. Praise Him. Praise Him, praise Him.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, Tell of his excellent praises. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. For our sins he suffered and bled and died. He our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail him, Jesus the crucified. Sound his praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep and strong. Praise him, tell of his excellent praises. Praise him, ever in joyful song. Praise him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals, loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, live forever and ever. Praise him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise him, tell of his excellent greatness. Praise him, ever in joyful song.
Amen. Woo. Let's turn it down up here. Yeah, we got a couple visitors. Thanks, Dan, for being here. Appreciate it. And Anders drove in all the way from Nebraska today, so we appreciate that. Thanks, Anders, for being here. And as of announcements go, we're working on the calendar, and we'll be starting printing that here in the next couple of days. So again, if you want one of those calendars, let me know. Shoot me an email, jason@sfaw.org, or you can write to us and request it. Also, Volume 12, Dragon Slayer, Melting Pot Myth Part 2 is on the presses, ready to go. Start printing that tomorrow. Just again, keep that in your prayers. We thank you, the saints that are out there, the faithful that have helped us continue to get these newsletters out. Hearing from people, got another email this week from somebody that a relative had handed them a newsletter and said, hey, you know, you need to read this. And they wrote in and wanted to be added to that Dragon Slayer mailing list. So, you know, the word is getting out there and people understand truth. And I'm thankful for that and really thankful for those of you that make these efforts possible. And, you know, it's a blessing to be able to continue to spread the gospel, the word of God, the good news. When, you know, there's so much darkness happening in this world. We're going to go ahead. We got a message by Brother Zach on the power of words. And looking at the clock, we need to go ahead and get to that. But this is more on the power of words. And there's so much truth in this. Pastor Peters did several messages on the power of words that were probably one of my favorite series. And I don't have the numbers here in front of me, but power of words and the power of the tongue, just very, very, very powerful tools, very powerful tools, very powerful weapons. And we're going to have that message by Brother Zach. So it'll come on up right about now.
And greetings to the one flock, the now found sheep of the house of Israel. Today, this day, December 1st, 2024, we here at the LaPorte Church of Christ, welcome all of you out there today. We're glad you're able to join us. And we begin by identifying, defining who Jesus Christ is. And that's found in John chapter 1. And I begin by reading in verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. And in verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And that is the definition of who Jesus Christ is. He is the Word that became flesh. And for all you New Testament Christians out there, if you believe that only the New Testament is what you need to know and the Old Testament is something that God was doing with the Jews and dealing with them and punishing them, then by this, what we read here, that tells you you need to know that because that is who Jesus is. And it's history, it's the law, it's the prophets, and you got to pay attention to it and do not let anybody tell you otherwise because that's who Jesus is. He is the storyteller, tells you all three conditions of the promises, the covenants with Abraham, the split, who the Jews are. Well, who could, I'll put it this way, who can only be called a Jew in the house of Israel and be a Jew, which is the only, they can only be from the tribe of Judah, which is, or the house of Judah, excuse me, which is the tribe of Judah and the tribe of Benjamin. They were the only ones that could actually be called Jew according to the New Testament in the gospel. And then you have 10 other tribes that they were not labeled that. When you say, well, how? Why would you say that? Because I know my book. I know my history. When you encounter somebody that knows their history and you do not, you are in for a ride and you will not win the discussion, but you will be oblivious to what just happened and you think you won. And that's a big issue. You say, well, why do you keep talking? Why are you talking about this? You have to be careful how you're trained. You have to put every preacher to the fire, keep their feet to the fire, hold them accountable to the word. And if you don't know the word, then how can you hold them accountable? Then you're just taking their word for it, and that's not a good place to be. So with that being said, we're going to do a little bit of review of the last time I was with you. I missed the Thanksgiving sermon, or I wasn't with you on the Thanksgiving sermon that Jason gave last week. And we're going to go back a little bit more about not being many of you teachers. Watch what you say. And we're going to start back in James chapter 3 and in verse 1. And I begin, well, let me say this. So for those of you out there, there are that have been on this ministry for a long time, and you're very educated in to who the 12 tribes of Israel are. They're the basically your European, Germanic, Scandinavian, Celtic, kindred people, and that's all backed up by biblical prophecy, archaeology, all that stuff, all the statements I just said right there. You have to be careful what you say, and you have to be careful how you present stuff. You can know a lot of biblical truth, but then when you know that biblical truth, there seems to be a lot of people in these circles that go off on crazy tangents about how to live their life, how to prosper, to be in the system, out of the system. How do you exist? How do you prosper and still be out of the system? And because last I knew, you did everything right, then everything that you're supposed to do, God was to bless it. But we are in this system, this Babylonian system that God put his people in, and it is judgment for them and us. We're in the know, so we are in this system, but we're not of this system. But we have to survive in this system, and that doesn't give us the right to be bummed and not be prosperous and hold on to land and the blessings that God give us. That doesn't give us the right to sit there and go along with what everybody else says about inflation and fuel prices and, you know, sit there and complain and think that the deck is stacked against you. You know, I've built my company in the Biden administration, and honestly, it didn't matter what he said. Actually, I don't really know what he said because I don't watch the news. I just knew I was going in a direction. I wasn't going to stop, and my partners knew that too, and we banded together, and we moved forward. Because this is America. We live in America. We live in a free capitalist country. And when you live in a situation in a market like that, it doesn't really matter what the market's doing. If you're willing to work and willing to work hard, and you are going to have setbacks, you will prosper. You will not. Not easy. I'm not saying it's not stressful. But it's what I'm saying. Don't get into that mentality that you can't make it in this world, and you can't be prosperous, and you can't leave your children a legacy. When you think that, that means your mouth gets running. You start telling people stuff like that. And then, before you know it, you got a bunch of people believing what you're saying. And what are you doing? You are redirecting the potential that God has put in other people's lives, and you are robbing that from them because of your rotten belief system. Because you're running your mouth, and you're saying, you know, all the system's just a stack of cards, and it's just smoke and mirrors. Man, I agree. But I still lay the hammer down. I've gained a lot in the last 4 years. Despite what everybody else is going through. Because I don't believe that. I believe God gave me the ability to march forward and do well, and that's what I do. We're having another little talk about what we say. We're going to start in James chapter 3, starting verse 1. Do not become teachers in large numbers, my brothers, since you know that we who are teachers will incur a stricter judgment. But we stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to rein in the whole body as well. So teachers, people that give advice, people that have a higher place, whatever, you are held to, basically is what it is. If you know a lot, and you're, how do I want to say this? If you know a lot, and you're talking, and you're telling people how to do stuff, but you got a leaven in your brain, it'll affect what you say. And you can change the course of people's lives, their family's direction, all based on what you're saying, what you say, and the theology that's going on between your ears. So it's best not to really say a whole lot. But we're humans, and we always like to think that we know better than everybody else. So what we like to talk about what we think is right and get into arguments and win arguments, and hopefully you can sway them into doing things the right way. But most people, if they actually look at themselves, honestly, I wouldn't want to be in their position. They haven't obtained the things that I want to obtain. And if I listen to them, they'll tell you exactly the truth, how to get to where they are. And if you want to be just like them, then listen to them. The thing of it is, most people don't realize that they're losers. Yes, I said it. Most people don't realize that they're losers. Why are they losers? Because they don't check themselves. They never question themselves. Am I wrong? Is what this person, say if you're getting into an argument and you beat this person up on their theology or their wrongdoing, and that other person simply doesn't want to accept the fact that they're wrong. They think they're right. They have an inability to self-check themselves to change their actions. They can't look at themselves and say that they're wrong. That's why it's so hard to repent, because you still got that worldly, you still have that worldly notion that you always know what's right. Who's God? It ain't you. It ain't me. The Word. It's the Word that became flesh. That is who God is. So if you are one of these individuals that can't do a self-check and actually ask themselves legitimately, am I wrong? And if you come to the conclusion that you are wrong and change it, you got no business running your mouth about anything. You are literally blind. You are a blind person that is oblivious of being blind. And you're just going to keep running your mouth. And you ain't got no business doing it. Because you don't have those safety checks built into your own life. So don't be teachers. Keep your mouth shut. This is one place I don't really like to be. I don't really particularly care to be a teacher. This is why I do not deviate from what the Word says, because if I do, I'm smoked. So, now if we put bits into horses' mouths so that they will obey us, we direct their whole body as well. Look at ships too. Though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, nevertheless directed by a very small rudder, wherever the inclination of the pilot determines. So, as preachers, we know we are the body of Christ. And by what we say, there's a small rudder, and it can move the whole body. Be careful what you say. The whole body, I mean by that, is the group of people, this ministry. It's a tough place to be, I would say. You just have to hold yourself accountable. Basically, what I'm saying is everybody needs to hold themselves accountable. They don't hold themselves accountable to their own words, to their own actions. What good are they? You need to do this as well in your own life. Hold yourself accountable. Take responsibility for your actions. Take responsibility for what you say. The less you say and the less you do, the less responsible you're for. But then you'll be called a bum, so you don't want to be that either. Verse 5. So also the tongue is a small part of the body, yet it boasts of great things. See how a great forest is set aflame by such a small fire. It don't take, is all it is, it's a spark. One lightning bolt. Those of you there out in California, Nevada, Arizona, Colorado, Wyoming, know all about that. One lightning bolt, boom, game on. The tongue is a fire, the very world of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our body parts as that which defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of our life and sets on fire by hell. The tongue, words, have power. So not only can you set the course of your life, if people believe what you say, you set the course of other people's life. This is a very important, if it's your own life and you screw up your own life, that's one thing. Go ahead. I mean, really, I don't care. I mean, that might not be nice, but that might not be a preachery thing to say, but if you want to screw up your own life and believe all your own garbage, go ahead. But the problem is, if people believe what you say, then that sets the course of their life. Then you're ruining people's lives. And the thing is, people are oblivious to it. People can be out of the will of God by believing garbage. Like what we were last time I was with you. Don't let yourself be captive by believing false doctrine. by believing lies. You're taken captive. I sit and I think about all the lies that I believed to be true in my lifetime. And I think about how I acted on them and how it took my time, the time that God gave me here on earth, and I wasted it because I believed lies. Because I believed lies, thinking that it was the righteous thing to do. Like when I was growing up and I was in the Holy Roller Church and, you know, all those people, those Judeo-Christians. I mean, I'm glad I went through the experience. But there's people in my family that still believe that doctrine. And their time is being wasted. They're too busy worrying about... They don't look at God as a political point of view. They don't look at the law as God's intent. Like, it's that cut and dried. This is how you run the country. This is how you govern your life. They don't look at that. The law is done away with. Waste their time that God gives them. Waste it. I'll tell you another one that wastes time is the Patriot Movement of many young men. Like my generation, guys that I know, when their parents were in the Patriot Movement, which mine was, I had a couple other family members that were in it. I know a lot of you boomers in there that are listening to this. You guys are in it. And you defected from the system. And you told your kids, oh, you know, you got to get out of it. It's crap. It's garbage. You're not going to prosper. You're not going to do this. You're not going to do that. You wasted your kids' time. Do you remember when I did this three-part series about Paul using all three systems? He used the Pharisee system. He used God's system, and he used the Roman system. Because all those systems had power. And he navigated them perfectly in order to get the result that he needed to be what? What did he use it to be? To be a winner. And not a loser. So if you completely abhorred the one system without knowing it, which a lot of those people in the Patriot Movement, then I'm probably going to ruffle feathers here, but next time I'm in town and you want to straighten me out, I'm all ears. Like, I'll listen to you. But you completely abhorred the other system, which Paul didn't. And you don't know the rules, and then you start playing by rules that nobody else is playing by, and then you sit there and you wonder why you don't have the result that you need to have to be prosperous as a ministry, as a individual, as a family, because you're uneducated. Every day, I know the biblical system quite well. I also know the Babylonian system, because I'm responsible for a number of families to have their bills paid. What am I going to do? I got to play the game. But according to everybody else, like I lived that Patriot way for most of my adult life. It wasted my time. I'm not saying their principles aren't correct, but is what I'm saying, I only had half the story. And there's probably a lot of guys in my generation, if they sit back and they think about it and they're in my position and live their life the way I did, which I know there's a few of them out there, they would probably agree with me. I'm going to be 48 in a couple months. Be careful what you tell people. Especially be careful if you ain't the one that's actually going to pull it off. That's another thing. If you ain't the one that's actually got to pull this thing off, I'll give you, very rarely did I ever disagree with Pastor Peters. There's a few things I was like, nah, I don't know about that. Pastor Peters is a man. Pastor Peters was a total stud. I love the dude. But I remember he used to say, you can't live in this society and keep your wife at home. You got to have both the wife and the husband out working in order to make ends meet. I thought, well, that's true if the husband is kind of a sissy. If he doesn't have any drive, that's true. I didn't happen to be one of those type of people. I kept my wife home, my kids. My wife just finally went back to work this year after 16 years of marriage. Because the kids are grown up and not stuff now, like, you can do it. Because somebody says it, and they're in a place of authority. Now, I'm not knocking Pastor Peter, because I love him. I mean, I looked up to that guy. He's taught me a lot about how to be a man and how to live in a certain way. And I don't have, like, there's a lot of things that, there's many, many things because of what he's taught me that I don't, like, that are solid gold. So don't get me wrong that I don't respect that guy, because I do, because he's awesome. But he wasn't right on everything, and I'm not right on everything either. Be careful what you say. So the tongue can literally build up not only yourself, or other people around you. That is what we are to do. We are to tell people the truth so that way they are what? Set free. Here's the thing. When you set people free, and by teaching them the truth, the object of the game is to get more people on our side. It's all by teaching. The whole reason why this whole world is screwed up is because of what's going on between people's ears, because there's a bunch of Judeo-Christian preacher tongues out there preaching the exact same thing, yet for some reason a lot of them think it's different. It's craziness. Foundation's exactly the same. Teaching the theology that the law's done away with, which everybody believes. So that's what's going on in between their ears. They listen to a tongue or tongues. And they screwed everything up. So now here we are. We got to preach righteously. We got to use our time wisely that we have. We got to be careful we don't screw up somebody's life, because when you're navigating two and three systems like Paul did, things can get a little bit dicey. You can't just abort stuff because you're in it. We know the government, they are ministers of the Lord. So you got to be, okay, well, where do they need to be respected? You know, am I saying, just because abortion's legal doesn't mean you got to do it. You don't have to play that game. You do what's right, what are you worried about? Verse 7. For every species of beasts and birds and reptiles and creatures of the sea is tamed, and has been tamed by the human race, but no one among mankind can tame the tongue. It is restless, evil, full of deadly poison. We bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who have been made in the likeness of God. There you go. Don't be bad-mouthing people. Who are you to badmouth anybody? Who you badmouth their actions. If they got bad actions, yeah, you can call them out on it. I ran across this one dude. He's run his siblings and their names in the dirt. They didn't even do anything wrong. Worse yet, he believes his own garbage. From the same mouth, we can both From the same mouth come both blessings and curses. My brothers and sisters, these things should not be this way. Does a spring set forth from the same mouth both flesh and bitter water? Can a fig tree, my brothers and sisters, bear olives, or a vine bear figs? Nor can a salt water produce fresh. So basically, your tongue is just like this universal, I don't know how to say it, just a universal, it can do a lot of stuff. It can't be tamed. It's not good. It's not evil. It's just, it can do, I mean, it's just this awful tool, or it's a good tool. So be careful. Make sure you got your mind right when you're using it. That's what it boils down to. Make sure you got your mind right when you're using it. Turn with me to Proverbs 10, verse 19. Where there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable. But the one who restrains his lips is wise. Did you hear that? Where there are many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable. You ever just be in a situation, the more, like, and now this is not an evil situation I'm speaking of, but I've been in these situations where the more and more I tried to explain something, the worse stuff got. Finally, you just got to throw your hands in the air while you figure it out. You just got to experience what I'm talking about in order for you to get it. No amount of talking I'm going to do is going to get you out of it. The more I talk, the more confused everything gets, and then the more it follows everything up. Now, in the other way, where there's many words, wrongdoing is unavoidable. Why is that? It's because you're putting your own leaven into your tongue. You're putting your own personal belief system into your tongue. That means you're straying from the Word of God. That's what it means. Turn with me to Titus chapter 3. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready for every good deed. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient. How do you do that? It's don't be like, if you really look around and you drive around, and if you don't drive like a jerk, you're not going to get a ticket. Now, you can say, well, about admiralty jurisdiction and common law jurisdiction, you know, there's no damage and blah, 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 blah. No, people don't, like, people don't like other people engaging in risky behavior where it puts themselves and other people, potentially their family members, into danger of serious injury or death on the road. They don't like it, and when they see it, it makes them mad. Now, is there damage? No, but the potential, the chances go way up. This is admiralty jurisdiction stuff, and people get written tickets about it. Don't be a jerk. Just be obedient. Just chill out. To slander no one, not to be contentious, to be gentle, showing every consideration for all people. That means non-Israelites, too. As the Old Testament says, don't let the eunuch or the foreigner think that they don't have no hope if they keep a Sabbath holy. God will actually put them in a higher spot. Consider this stuff. We are bearers of the truth. We are the ones that believe Jesus when Jesus told Peter, you have the keys to the kingdom. We are the bearers of the keys. Why be mad about stuff? Think about your approach. Think about the message. Think about the presentation. Now, I'm not saying to be a pushover and be a softy and this and that, because that's not how I roll. Verse 3. For we too were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various kinds of lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful, hating one another. So what is this we were saying? We were at one time were believing lies, wasting our time. Wasting our time. Just like everybody else. We need to make sure we have all of our ducks in a row. That way, what we say doesn't waste other people's time. Because we don't want to be disobedient and deceived. But when the kindness of our God, of God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds, which we did in righteousness, but in accordance with His mercy, washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He richly poured upon us through Jesus Christ our Savior. Who is Jesus Christ our Savior? He is the Word became flesh. So that whole statement right there, if you don't know who Jesus is, you do not understand that. Jesus was sent only for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Jesus was here to fulfill marriage law. You got to have the right Jesus. Is this because of our deeds? No, it is not because of our deeds. It's because of the promises that were given to Abraham. And that's it. Not anything we did. So that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to hope of eternal life. This statement is trustworthy, and concerning these things, I want to speak to you confidently so that those who have believed in God will be careful, listen, careful to engage in good deeds. Be careful to engage in good deeds. If you are not careful, you are going to be engaging in wastes of time. And then you're promoting it. This all goes back to the tongue. This all goes back to the Word. These things are good and beneficial for people. What are these things? The Word. Not my word. It's not what I think is not right. It's not your words. It's not what you think is right. It's the Word. It's the Word that became flesh. What is that? The Bible. But avoid foolish controversies and genealogies and strife and disputes about the law, for they are useless and worthless. Reject and divisive person, reject a divisive person after a first and second warning, knowing that such a person is has deviated from what is right and is sinning, being self-condemned. No, okay. You can use the law. Okay, let me step back. Do you remember the lessons I gave, or the lesson I gave about the catalyst that made Israel demand a king? It was the prophet's sons that took over that perverted the law, the Word, to their own benefit. That's what he's talking about right there. Foolish controversies and disputes about the law. Don't pervert the law. The law is just as just as it was for David as it is for the lowest man in the totem pole. It's the standard. Don't go messing with it. Knowing that such a person has deviated from what is right and is sinning, being self-condemned. So these arguers, they're just self-condemned. They're sinning, believing their own lies, not really putting into perspective what comes out of their mouth can affect other people. Be careful what you say. And with that, I am out of time. For those of you that are his, may he bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you, and grant you peace. Out.
Thank you, Brother Zach. Appreciate that. Good message. And as we go to the part of communion at the Sunday service, and we conclude with that, I just, one of the scriptures that Pastor Peters closed out part four was found in John 6, starting with verse 53. It says, "So Jesus said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink of his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because the Father, so he who eats me, he also will live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread will live forever.'" And he concluded message four with that, and you know, talked about the healing properties of communion. And you know, I think that there's so much there, and I think that as we continue to do that and eat of the body of Christ, we can continue to. It's something that we're just not. We don't read it, we don't hear it once, and we don't have it. It's something that I believe that we've just got to continue to work on and pray for. And you know, if there's things in our lives or in others' lives that that we see that are wrong, it's something that we can continue to come before the throne of our Heavenly Father, why we do this, and hand it to Him and ask for that transformation to take place in our bodies. I'd like to read John 6, starting in verse 49. Because I think that this is, I think this applies as well. "Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread which comes down out of heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread also which I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." The Jews began to argue with one another, saying, "How can this man give us his flesh to eat?" As we take of this today, I think that we need to, as we plead the blood of Jesus Christ over ourselves, we also plead the blood of Jesus Christ over this land, and ask for that healing to take place in this land and also in our bodies, and for us to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown, and help us to continue to purge the sin of our lives. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And I believe that communion is important for us to, you know, get back in alignment with God, sacrificing our ways and looking at His ways. And so that's what I want us to do as we prepare to partake. Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we thank you for the price that was paid to give us communion, Lord. We recognize that when we eat of this, that we eat of your body and we drink of your blood. And we're grateful that you not only took our sins on the cross, but you took our sicknesses, our diseases. And Lord, as we partake of it today, we ask, Father, for there to be a change in our bodies from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet. We pray that you purify our bodies. We pray that you grant us healing, victory from any diseases, any curses, anything that is negative, that is contrary to you, that's in our bodies. We pray, Father, that you Give us the mind of Christ as we partake of this, Father, that you give us strength and energy and health and healing, Lord, that you help us to see things your way. We pray that we can sacrifice our sin, realize that it's not about us, but it's about you and it's about your kingdom. I pray, Father, that as we partake of this, Father, that you strengthen your kingdom, that you strengthen your people, that you help them to draw closer to you. We pray these things in the name above all names, our Lord and Savior, Christ. Amen. You may partake. And we've got time. We'll go ahead and close out with the song, Nothing But the Blood of Jesus.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. For my pardon, this I see, not the blood of Jesus. For my cleansing, this my plea, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white and whole. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing can for sin atone, nothing but the blood of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount, no, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my hope and peace, nothing but the blood of but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. The blood of Jesus, nothing but blood.